Oh, God is so good to us. So good to us. So good to us. And the more faith you have, part of it is the more good you expect. And if you just keep saying all the time, God is so good to me. Oh, Lord, you are so good to me. You believe that in your heart. You say it with your mouth. You know what will happen? He'll just manifest. Lord, you are so good to me. And he'll just do more and more and more. And it just gets bigger and better and greater. What if you say, I don't know why things don't happen for me like other folks. I don't know. I try, do the best I know how. And looks like I get one step forward, knock back two. I just don't know. I don't know what's wrong. Nothing good ever happens to me. Well, you believe in your heart. You say it with your mouth. And the more you say it, the worse it'll get. But not us. We know better. I said we know better. We know where all our blessings come from. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Lord. And we are thankful. 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 If you're here last night, we had a good time worshiping the Lord. I believe some things happened. I believe some healings have taken place and are taking place. And we're thankful. So let's go ahead by faith and thank God for the healings that happened last night and that are happening. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for healing us. Thank you for moving in our midst, hearing our prayers, answering them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for what you've already done. And we thank you in advance for what you'll do tonight, ministering and manifesting in our midst your wonderful presence. Move among us, Lord. Manifest yourself upon us. Have your way. Help us to yield to you fully. Move freely among us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Well, smile real big at somebody. Let them know they're around nice people. And you can be seated. Hallelujah. Shouldn't have to sit by mean folks in church. That wouldn't be right. Have I got this on now or not? Is this on? Okay. There we go. Now it's not there. Wanted to sing something to you before we went further tonight. Would that be okay? Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." The Bible tells us, be careful for nothing. Don't fret. Don't have any anxiety about anything. Can you do that? But in everything, you know, by prayer and supplication, let your request be made known unto God. And with thanksgiving, he talked about, and he said, the peace of God that passes understanding would keep your mind, hallelujah, keep your whole being, wouldn't it? The Bible said to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Does it matter what you think about? Does it matter what's on your mind? According to the Bible, it's the difference between life and death. Well, what if somebody is upset and they're anxious and they're scared and they're frustrated? What's obvious? They haven't been keeping their mind on the Lord, right? Because if you had, you'd be in perfect. He said, if you keep your mind, keep your mind. If you keep your mind stayed on him, he'd keep you in perfect. That's complete. That's total peace. Well, what if you're not in total peace? You hadn't been keeping your mind on the right thing, and whose fault is that? Well, it's your mind, so it'd be your fault. Is that right? It's just a fact. And so a lot of people say, well, I can't help it. I try not to think on that stuff, but I just can't help it. That's not true. The Lord didn't tell you to try to keep your mind. He told you to. Then he didn't say try not to worry. He said don't. And if he said don't, that's because he knew you didn't have to. I want to sing this. I want us to practice it while we're singing it. Let's keep our mind stayed on him all night tonight and tomorrow. But you know, before I go, I sense some people saying, well, you know, that's all good, Brother Keith, but you can't keep your mind on the Lord all the time. Well, apparently he didn't know that. Because he's the one that said. How many remember his instructions to Joshua for success? This book of the law, which is all the word they had, shall not depart out of your mouth, but you'll what? You'll meditate on it. You'll think it, ponder it, say it. How often? How long? Well, it's either day or it's night. That's all the time. Right? Can you do it? He told you to do it. I was talking to a lady one time years ago. She'd been in and out of mental institutions year after year. Get out a while and go back in. Just terrible mental problems. And the thing the Lord led me to say to her was that scripture, Joshua. You know, keep this word in your mouth and meditate upon it night and day. And she looked at me and said what a lot of people have thought but didn't say. She said, you can't do that. You can't meditate the word night and day. There's other things in life. You can't think about that. You can't keep your mind stayed on the Lord all the time. You just can't do that. I said, like I just told you, apparently the Lord didn't know that. He's the one that said to do it. And I said, besides that, it's not like you're not keeping your mind on something night and day. You are already keeping something on your mind night and day. He's telling you, keep Him on your mind instead of the other thing. It's a choice. I said, it's a choice. And it's real obvious what your choice is by what your state is. What your condition is. Well, if you hadn't been keeping your mind on the right thing, here's a time to change it right now before we go any further in the service. Get here. Don't be thinking about work today or what you're going to eat after the service or tomorrow, problems. No, get your mind on Him right here, right now. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Sing it with me as you pick it up. I'm keeping my mind stayed on the Lord. My mind stayed on the Lord. I'm keeping my mind stayed on the Lord. He's my meditation night and day. I'm keeping my mind stayed on the Lord. My mind stays on the Lord. I'm keeping my mind stays on the Lord. He's my meditation night and day. I'm casting down all imaginations and the false reasonings. I've made the word my constant meditation, and the Lord is keeping me in perfect peace. I got my mind stayed on the Lord. My mind stayed upon the Lord. I got my mind stayed on the Lord. He's my meditation night and day. I'm casting down all imagination and the false reasonings. I've made the Word of God my constant meditation, and the Lord is keeping me in perfect peace. I got my mind stayed on the Lord. Say it with me. Got my mind stayed. Lord, I'm keeping my mind stayed on the Lord. He's my meditation night and day. Come on, keep your mind stayed right now. Oh, I got my mind stayed upon the Lord. He's my meditation, night and day.
mind on Him. I'm casting down every wrong thought, every wrong feeling. I got my eyes on You. I got my mind on You. I got my heart on You. Oh, keeping my mind stayed. I'm keeping my mind stayed. I'm keeping my mind stayed. My meditation, night and day. Oh, just focus on Him right now. Just, oh yeah, only on You. Oh, let's just lift our hands. Lord, our eyes are only on You. Our mind is on You, and by Your grace we will keep it stayed on You in Jesus' name. Everybody say out loud, I have peace. Peace. You know, Jesus told His disciples, when they went into a place, He said, peace. He said, speak over it and say, shalom, peace to you. And He said, if a son of peace is there, that peace will come on them. They're receptive of it, that kind of person. If not, it'll come back to you. Well, this is very real, isn't it? This is not just empty words. Something is coming on them when they speak. Peace. God's called the God of peace. Holy Spirit's called the Spirit of peace. So I want you to just reach over and put your hand on the shoulder of your neighbor. Don't bother them other than that, but just put your hand on their shoulder, and I want you to speak to them. I want you to say, peace to you. Say it again. Peace to you. One more time. Peace to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now say, I receive it. I receive it. Glory to God. I have peace. It passes understanding. Keeps my mind and my heart. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Lord. Thank You for peace and wholeness and soundness and strength in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad I came if we just stopped right now. God is real, isn't He? Did you bring your Bible tonight? Go ahead and open it up. Matthew 13. Matthew, 13th chapter. If you weren't with us Sunday morning, Sunday night, we've been on this now for these two times and believe this to be the direction of the Lord for us. It's always good when preachers get direction. Instead of just rambling about what you think or your opinion and your experience, all this kind of stuff. Tell people what the Word said. Let them do their own thinking. Matthew 13. We saw that this passage that Jesus spoke out and quoted is found in how many other places? A total of five times in the Word, this passage is quoted and re-quoted. When something is repeated that many times in the Word, it's got to be very important. If it was there one time, it'd be important. But another time and another and another and another, we should get the message, this is extremely important. And this is what it is, Matthew 13. Matthew 13. And 12. He said, Jesus is speaking, whomsoever has, to him shall be given, and he'll have more abundance. How many want to sign up for that and volunteer for that part?
That's me. I volunteer. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. We said that has to do with being thick and unfeeling. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. That's the passage that we said we saw in Isaiah. It's in Matthew. It's in Mark. It's in John. It's in Acts, about seeing and not seeing, hearing and not hearing, and not understanding. Verse 16, though, I like this. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hallelujah. I wrote over the top of your in here, I put my. Blessed are my eyes. You want to say that out loud? Blessed are my eyes, for they see, and my ears, for they hear. I don't like the idea of seeing and seeing and not seeing, hearing and hearing and not getting it. And that's what he said was happening with a lot of these people when he's teaching to them. Now, you'd think that with Jesus teaching and ministering, everybody would get it. Because you know he's doing a good job. You know he's anointed. Right? You know the revelation is correct. You know he's quoting the right verse at the right time. And he's giving the right explanation, and he's giving exactly the right illustration. You know there is no fault with Jesus' teaching. And yet, with Jesus' teaching, people didn't get it. A lot of them saw it, but they didn't see it. They heard it, but they didn't hear it. And they didn't understand it. We saw the same thing with Paul. He quoted this passage when he spent all day from morning till evening expounding the Word of God from the law and the prophets. And you know he was anointed, and you know he did a good job. And the Bible said after 12 hours of this, some believed and some believed not. And when some of them didn't agree and they rejected it, he quoted to them this passage that Jesus quoted from Isaiah and said, seeing, you'll see but you won't see, you'll hear but you won't hear, and you won't understand. Your heart is waxed gross. And the Lord said, if they'd open their eyes and see, and open their ears and hear, and change, convert, I'd heal them. I would heal them. Well, thank God he's still in the healing business. He is still in the restoring business for those that have eyes to see and ears to hear. Now, we said that in verse 15 it says they should be converted and I should heal them. We said this includes the idea of changing. Somebody say changing.
Changing.
We spent a lot of time last night on seeing how the Syrophoenician Canaanite woman changed. And she changed, and she changed, and she changed, and she got her healing. She got her daughter's healing, didn't she? So you see that verse come to pass when she made the changes, the Lord did the healing, just like he said, if you'd be converted, if you'd be changed, I would heal you. Well, what does it mean to change? Literally, if you look up the words in Hebrew and Greek and what have you, it means this: to make different. Simple enough. To make different. When something is changed, it is made or it becomes different. Everybody say different.
Different.
What's the opposite of different?
Same.
Staying the same. So what if you stay the same? No change. Is that good or bad? Now the Lord, the Bible says, you know, He said, I am the Lord. I change not. And we said, you know why He doesn't change? He doesn't need to change. He is completely right. And He is perfect. Right? He doesn't need to change. That's why we never get any updates on the Bible or upgrades. We're not on version 9,000, you know. There is no upgrade. Why? Because it was perfect when He said it the first time. So He doesn't need to change. But now you are a different story. And me. You definitely need to change. And I definitely need to change. We need to change every day. We do not need, if we go weeks and weeks and don't change, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're not growing. And if, how is it that people come to church and go to meetings and listen to tapes and CDs and watch teaching and preaching on TV and do it for year after year after year and are not changed? That'd be you seeing and not seeing. Right? Hearing and not hearing. Because when you see and you hear and you're ready and willing, you'll change. And when you change, it's good. You're not the same. You're different. How many can testify and say, I'm different today than I was 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Huh? Let's see, I got some enthusiasm out of that, didn't I? I know I am. I know I am a different man than I was 20 years ago. Thank God. My wife thanks God. My staff thanks God. My relatives and everybody thank God. Well, you should be a very different person. You should have grown up. You should have developed. You should have changed. Somebody say change. Now, if you don't know this already, you could write it down, but I want you to get this in your head and in your heart, real strong, real definite. If you want something different in your life, you must do something different in your life. I know that sounds very simplistic. But if you want changes in your life, you must change. You must change in how you think and how you talk and how you live and what you do. Do you need to change? Look at your neighbor and look in their eyes and see if they believe. So tell them, say, you need to change. You really need to change. Do they believe that? Now you look back at them and say, I know it. I know it. I know I need to change. You need to change. Everybody, there's nobody in here that doesn't need to change. Nobody. If you don't need to change, it means you believe you have arrived already at Christ-like perfection. And just ask any of your family and friends and they'll tell you it ain't so. No, you have not arrived at Christ-like perfection, which means you need to change and be conformed. Yes. Right? Which has the idea of transformation, which is certainly change. Change. I mean, when a caterpillar transforms into a butterfly, that's a big change. Do you suppose you and I could have some more big changes in our life? Could we become very different men and women in a good way? I got about five people that are hooked up with me on this. Are you? Are you? Do you believe that you, we're not talking about your neighbor, you don't look around and go, where is so-and-so? They should be in here. They need to hear. Well, the Lord knew who was going to be here. You. You. So this is for you. Because you need to change. You. You. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Are you willing?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Glory, then let's change.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Yes.
If it's true that you and I need to change daily and weekly and monthly, then I want to not, you know, waste any more time, you know, theorizing about it. How do we change? How? And I got good news. I have found out how in the Word of God. It's simple. Glory to God. There's just three main things, just three, that if you will do, you will change. I don't mean you might change. I don't mean it works part of the time. I don't mean it works for some people in some places. Everybody, anywhere, in any situation that does this will change. Because it's the Word. I said it's the Word. How do I change, Brother Keith? How do I change? Have you ever talked to people that looked at you with tears and said, I need to change. I know I need to change. But then 10 years later, they're still saying it. I need to change. Listen to this, friend. I need is not a believing statement. I need is not a faith statement. I need is not a spiritually responsible statement. I need is a spiritually lazy statement. I need is a spiritually irresponsible statement. Requires no faith, no spiritual effort or commitment on your part. Is no obligation of follow-up of any kind when you say, I need. We need money. We need a building. I need a wife. I need a husband. I need a job. Is nothing. You are doing nothing spiritually about it to change it when you say, I need it. Are you with me now? And how many times do people talk that way and they just talk the need, and pray. Oh, God, we need. Oh, God, we need a revival. Oh, God, we need a move. Oh, God, we need. So what? When you get through with 2 hours of you need, what have you done? Oh, God, we need it. Oh, God, and cry and beg. And oh, God, you know we need it. Well, He knew you needed it before you told Him you needed it. What does that do? It requires nothing of you. It is no obligation from you. It is no commitment from you. So quit talking about what you need. And begin talking about what you believe. Right? We need money. Money's coming. Not I need healing. By stripes I'm healed. Not I need forgiveness. He has forgiven me. Not I don't know how. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You got to watch yourself. You got to watch your mouth. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've walked with the Lord. We live in a world filled with unbelief, a world that is need conscious and self conscious. And if you're need conscious, you are not God conscious. No. I had the Lord say this to me one time. I wrote it down. He said, Keith, any time in your life, anything looks too big, it looks overwhelming, it looks out of reach, it looks impossible, any time it looks like that, you're not looking at me. And it's a fact. You're looking at God. You can't be thinking about impossible, because with Him, nothing's impossible, right? You can't be thinking it's too hard, for with Him, nothing's too hard, right? So when you're thinking like that and you're talking need, I need, we got to have, we got to get, we don't have, we need, I don't know how. Unbelief, being lazy, irresponsible spiritually, especially people like you who know. You've been taught faith, you've heard faith, you know about the power of the words of your mouth, right? So let's not be lazy. And let's not, and catch yourself. If you say, you know, well, we need such as a stop and go, whoa, now what good did that do? Am I in faith about this or not? Have I heard of it, or am I just going to talk about how much I need the next year? We need more sales. We need more customers. We need more time. We need. Quit talking need. Talk God. Talk provision. Listen, don't talk what you don't know and what you don't have and what you can't do. Don't talk it. Talk what you have. Talk what you have. Talk who you are in Christ. Talk what you know in Him. Talk what you can do. I'm saved. Names in the Lamb's Book of Life. Been made the righteousness of God in Christ. Greater is He that's in me than he that... You're already feeling better. You're already feeling better. Right? What are we going to do? We're going to overcome like we always do. He always causes us to triumph. What do we got? He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What do we got? We got the mind of Christ. What do we got? We got the name of Jesus. The authority in that name. Talk what you have. Talk who you are in Him. Talk what you know in Him. Not what you don't have. Not what you can't do. No. Not what you need. To change is to become different. We know we need to change. I've heard people say that. You hear this all the time. People say, well, you know, the Lord loves me just the way I am. And you have to love me too, just the way that I am. No, I'm sorry, we don't. And He doesn't. Ooh. Brother Keith, everybody knows the Lord loves us just the way we are. Said who? Where'd you see that verse? He loves you. No matter how you are and how you've been, He loves you. But He does not love all your goofy, ungodly ways. And He doesn't have to love all the ways that you are. And we don't have to love all your goofy ways either. We can love you and not like your goofy ways. You know, you hear people, I heard it until it bothered my spirit and I got revelation on it. People say, well, now Jesus preached love and acceptance. Jesus preached love and acceptance. And you say you're a Christian? You're supposed to love us and accept us like we are. And I heard that for the thousandth time from somebody. And usually when people are saying that, they're trying to get you to accept their sin. Demanding that if you love me, you have to accept my sin. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus preached love and acceptance. And I heard that for about the thousandth time. Somebody on a news program one day berating Christians because they said they're not, you know, they don't accept everybody. And the Lord spoke to me. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but inside me. He said, no, I didn't. That's not what I preached. Love and acceptance. Shocked me. I thought, okay. So you know what I did? I got in the Bible. And I searched, what did He preach? Every time He preached, what did He preach? You know what He preached? He preached repentance. And He preached the kingdom of God. Well, that's not what people are saying. People are saying he preached acceptance. He didn't preach that he accepted everybody's sin. He preached repent. Didn't he? And get in the kingdom of God. And build the kingdom of God. That's what he preached. Search it out for yourself. That's what he preached. So no, we don't have to accept. God doesn't love all of our goofy ways. We don't have to love each other's ungodly, especially sinful ways. We can love people, but not their. We don't have to love and accept their sin and ungodliness. You love sinners, but you don't love sin. You love sick people, but you despise sickness. You love poor people, but you do not accept poverty. I despise poverty. Do you? You do not need to be passive about these things. You need to be very much against them. We're not to hate people, but we are to hate the works of the devil. And we are because it destroys people's lives. I hate, I know it's a strong word, but I hate poverty. I hate it. There are people on this planet starving to death for lack of enough to eat. You know what that is? That's poverty. It's poverty. Not having enough money to pay your bills is poverty. Not having enough money to sustain the life of your body is poverty. Just another degree of it. It's all the same ugly stuff. It comes from the same place. And I hate it. I despise it. And as long as I breathe, I'm against it. And I'm going to tell people they don't have to be broke and poor. And they don't have to starve because we got a God who's God of abundance and more than enough. And He'll supply all your needs. I hate sickness. Do you? I hate it. He said, hate, that's a strong word. The Bible tells you to hate your enemies. We're told to, and yet we're instructed in the New Testament, we're not to hate flesh and blood. That's not our problem. It's the devil behind it. It's the sin behind it. It's the curse. We don't hate people, but I hate the devil, and I don't have to repent about it. And I despise sickness. I worked in the healing school at Kenneth Hagin's ministry for a number of years, every day with folk that dealing with sickness. And I've seen little babies with boils all over their body that cry night and day and can't sleep and can't get any rest. I've seen parents, the look in their face, they would gladly die for this child to make this go away. Who did this? And some people come along and say, well, we don't understand God's ways, but we guess He put this on this child to teach them something. Don't accuse my good Father of being a killer and a destroyer when the Bible plainly says it's the devil who steals, kills, and destroys. And Jesus went about doing the Father's will, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Believe the Bible. God is a good God. He does good things. The devil is a bad devil. He does bad things. And they never get up one morning and swap jobs. Never. Never have. Never will. You believe it? God's a good God. I hate sickness. Sickness robs husbands of their wives and wives of their husbands. Sickness robs children of their parents. It robs people of their money and their time. It robs them of their ability and the strength. I'm telling you, people make fun of us. And they call us, well, y'all are the health and wealth gospel bunch. Gospel means good news. What other kind of good news you talking about? I mean, sickness and poverty is not good news. And people can make fun if they want, but the Bible talks about how God healed people and met their needs over and over. I mean, from the beginning, His first covenant people. He brought them out with silver and with gold, and there wasn't one feeble person among their tribes. That's typical of the New Testament. Why is it such a big deal? Because listen, the devil, he's always trying to get you bound up where you cannot serve God and you cannot do what you put on this planet to do. And if he can keep you sick enough, you won't be able to do it. And if he can keep you broke enough, you won't be able to do it. Have you seen it or not? If he can keep you sick enough and or broke enough, he can keep you out of the will of God. And so if he's taking all of your time and all of your money just to try to live and make it, then you are not building the kingdom. And I don't care if you got lots of money, if you don't have enough health and don't feel good, you can't go do anything. And I don't care if you're strong as an ox in your body, but you ain't got enough money to get out of town. You can't do anything. Oh, but if you're saved and your sins are forgiven and you're full of the Holy Ghost and your body's strong and you got plenty of money, oh, hallelujah, feel good, have money, we'll travel. We're ready to go and do whatever the Lord tells us to do. We're ready and we got the ability to help other people. And not just focus on ourselves all day long and think about, are we going to be able to pay our bills? Are we going to be able to live? Are we going to make it? We're not supposed to have to spend half the week in the doctor's office every week. We're not supposed to have to spend all of our money on our medical situations. We got a healer. I said, we have a healer. We have a healer. We're not supposed to be broke all the time. We have a provider, a big God. Big God, rich God, rich God. He's your Father. Well, if we want these kind of things in our life and we don't see them like they're supposed to be, what should we immediately know? How many would like some changes in your life? Some changes in your body, some changes in your financial situation. Some changes. Well, what do you know then? It's not God who needs to change. And the church for centuries has worked on him. Oh, God, would you make things different? Like you've got to try to talk him into it. And if you just beg him long enough and twist his arm enough, you'd change his mind. And he'd go, oh, all right. If you'll hush. All right. All right. I'll do something. God is not the problem. He is not going to change. So if something is going to happen different in our life, we must change. We must change. If you want to have something different, you must do something different. You must change. Say that out loud. If I want to have something different, what? I must do something different. It's amazing how foolish people can be and how foolish we've been. You got the same problems in your marriage over and over. You have the same arguments. Fuss about the same things over and over and over again and wonder why. Why can't we get past it? But you're doing the same things. You're saying the same things. Something comes up in you and you want feel like saying this to your spouse and your heart, you know you shouldn't, but no, you're going to have your say. And you go through the same thing you did last time. Same problems over and over. We should wake up. If your head is bloody and you go, I wish my head wasn't bloody. You have to quit beating it against the wall. As long as you beat it against the wall, it's going to be bloody. My finger hurts. I wish it would quit hurting. I wish it would quit hurting. You got to quit hitting it with the hammer. You must. As long as you hit it with the hammer, it is going to hurt. Say it one more time. If I want to have something different, I must do something different. Now here is how we change. How to change. Number one, I said there are three things. The Lord enables us, we'll get to them. Number one, in order to change, before anything else, you must be willing. Willing. You can talk about all kind of other stuff that you want to, but unless and until you get willing, the Lord doesn't have anything to work with. Now, with that in mind, I want you to go to two places and see it in the Scripture for yourself. John 7. John 7. And then we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 8. John 7. 2 Corinthians 8. How are we going to change? Number one, we're going to get willing. We're going to get willing. John 7. Now this goes back to our text. He said, seeing, they don't see. One translation, Amplified, says they have the power to see, but they don't see. They have the power to hear, but they're not hearing. And it goes on to say, their eyes, they have closed. Who closed their eyes? And so people want to pretend it's ignorance. I can't understand it. And this is a common ploy when one is unwilling. Unwilling. This happens all the time. Somebody sees something and they know something, but they're not willing to do it. So if you admit that this is God showing me and dealing with me, there's nothing left to do but either say, no, I know it's God, but I ain't going to do it. Or what else could you do? Do it. So people don't want it that plain, and they see it, so they do this. They go, I don't understand what that means, really. What are you doing? You are closing your eyes. You are stopping your ears. You are pretending to be ignorant, are pretending not to understand. This is a giant problem in every walk of life. People are dishonest about what they see and what they know. They pretend they don't know. Now, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But have you ever pretended you didn't know when you did? Don't care what it was. Particularly, it's very convenient when you get in trouble. Huh? Just think about the most common response from children when they get in trouble. They get in trouble. They do something they shouldn't have done. They do something you told them not to do. You've told them 150 times. You've explained it to them. And they did it. And they got in trouble. And you look at them and you go, boy, why did you do that? What is the standard response? I don't know. What were you thinking about? I don't know. Didn't I tell you such and such? And you said you were going to this? Why didn't you do what you said you were going to do? Oh, no. Oh, no. Now, let's stop right here. Is it true? They don't know. See, that's the problem. They do know. They know more than they're letting on. They understand a lot of times perfectly well. They're just playing you. And I'm surprised how often and how completely parents are duped. Little ones learn early how to turn on the tears. And they learn if they'll just turn on the tears and play dumb, that mom and daddy will grab them and hug them and go, oh, that's all right, baby, that's all right. Don't be upset. Don't be upset. And are being bad parents. Poor parents. Well, that went over real big, didn't it? Woo! Somebody said, why do you say that? Because These young ones are learning deception, and they're learning manipulation, the same traits that will destroy marriages. Or are you listening? That will destroy their professional opportunities and will rob them of the anointing on their life and their walk with God. It doesn't get any more devilish than deception. That is as devilish as it gets. Who is the father of lying and lies? He created it. It began with him. And when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. It came from him. What about if you speak a lie? You are speaking something directly from the devil. When you are trying to deceive someone, you are trying to do what the devil does every day with everybody. You are involved in devilish, satanic operation when you attempt to deceive. So I don't care if they're 3 years old and you hear the cookie jar rattle and you go in there and you see it sitting sideways and there's crumbs on the counter and there's chocolate on their face and you say, Johnny, you've been in the cookie jar? And they go, mmm. It is not cute. It is not funny. Their life is hanging in the balance. If this is not corrected, it can ruin them. Did you hear me? I know you may think it looks cute and people laugh. It ain't funny. It is not funny. They're trying to deceive you. Are you with me? This is a huge, huge deal. It's not that the people couldn't have seen what Jesus was saying to them. It's not that they couldn't hear it. And it's not that it was beyond them. It's not that he was so spiritually advanced that these common people could not grasp what he was saying. Amen. Absolutely not. It was they began to see it. And they didn't want it that way. And so the further he went, they didn't like it. And they began to close their eyes to it. And stop up their ears and pretend they didn't see it and pretend they didn't understand it. Do you remember when he told them, you know, the man to go, he put mud in his eyes and told him to go wash it off. And it was a big deal because he healed on the Sabbath day and the leaders, religious leaders, made a huge deal over it. And he said to them, you know, they some remarks that he said. They said, well, are you saying that we're blind too? Do you remember that? What's that in John 9? Are we blind too? What did he say to them? Well, just turn over there and look. You got your Bible. Turn over there and look. What did he say? John 9. Verse 39. John 9:39, Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Isn't that what our text is talking about? That those that see not might see, those that see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and they said to him, are we blind also? Sarcastic. Jesus said to them what? If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, we see, so your sin remains. These people saw far more than they admitted they saw. They were not oblivious to what's going on. These men knew the scriptures. These men saw Jesus in these prophecies. They knew these prophecies were coming to pass, just like what they studied in their synagogues and in their schools year after year. They were seeing it. They were understanding it. But they did not want it this way. And they felt threatened. The high priest expressed the position of the whole group. He said, if we don't do something about him, they'll come and take our place away. And they delivered him up to the Romans, to Pilate, for envy, the Bible said. Not out of ignorance. They didn't genuinely believe they were protecting the Jewish faith. They didn't genuinely believe that. Friend, in every area of life, family, business, politics, where you will see the devil is in the deception. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're a preacher. I don't care if they're a relative. If they're trying to deceive you, they are not good people. Don't care how many scriptures they quote. How many remember about, a man named Nathanael came up to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and remarked. He said, look at there. That's the Keith Moore paraphrase. Look at there. An Israelite in whom is no guile. He remarked about it. He called the man. He said, now there's a man. There's no guile in him. Does that please God? Is that, what does that mean, no guile? No attempt to deceive. What does it mean? Honest. Honest. What you see is what it is. No fakery. No putting on. People get into this in their being spiritual, so-called. There's so much phoniness in church. Oh, man, people put on their church clothes and their church face and their church phraseology, right? And their church hair and their church paraphernalia and their church accessories, and they flip on their church person switch. Now, you meet them on the job and they don't know who you are. You might think there's somebody else in that body. Phony. And people put on airs of being spiritual. You know, they're trying to impress each other with their spirituality. And using all these phrases and words. I never forget to. I think it was the first time Brother Hagin took me with him on one of his meetings out on the road. And we were driving in the car. I was sitting up front with the driver. And Brother Hagin and Miss Aretha and my wife Phyllis were sitting in the back, three across. Brother Hagin sitting straight behind me. It's quiet in the car. We'd been taught, you know, don't talk and interrupt the man of God before the service, and that's right. And he should be thinking about spiritual things. And the services had been so good, and the power had been so strong, and I was just sitting there smiling like the cat that got the canary. I was thinking, boy, you are blessed, boy. Do you know how blessed you are? I was just sitting there thinking, glory to God. God, I'm under the spout where the glory's coming out. And just really thankful to be a part, to be involved, and to be asked to be a part. And quiet, still, and all at once, he reaches up behind me, sitting behind me, just like Brother Mark, and grabs my shoulders and goes, woo, woo, woo. Shaking me like a rag doll. He said, boy, you feel that? I thought, oh, God, no. I didn't feel a thing. It's happened. He's going to find out just how unspiritual I am. And he's not going to take me back anymore. I thought, oh, God. You're tempted to say something. You're tempted to produce something. You try to feel something, and but I didn't feel a thing. It's the man of God, the prophet behind me, and he's in a spiritual ecstasy and experience, and I don't feel a thing. Well, you can't wait too long. He's waiting on me to answer. Boy, did you feel that? I said it kind of quiet. I said, no, Dad. No, sir.
I didn't feel it. He slapped me on the back. He said, ha, me neither. Now, I thought many a time, what if? What if? Me trying to be spiritual. What if I'd have said, yeah. Woo! Yeah. Yeah. Woo, glory. Then he would have known. I said, then he would have known how unspiritual. Let me tell you what's unspiritual. Phoniness. Putting on something. Pretending. That's as phony and devilish and unspiritual as it gets. If you don't see it, you don't see it. But if you do see it, you do. And admit it. And it's not okay for your kids' standard answer all their life. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old. Every time something goes wrong, what happened? What'd you do there? Oh, no. It's a lie. I said, it's a lie. What did they know? They need to admit what they knew. Did you hear me? And you shouldn't have to drag it out. If they are a person of integrity, they should come forward with it and admit it. And acknowledge it and not have to be proven 12 different ways so that they can't wiggle out of it and you drag it out of them after 2 hours. That is unacceptable. That means they are deceivers and manipulators. Devilish. And it must be changed. Or that's why it'll ruin their life. They're already doing that with you and they're 10 and 13. What do you think they're going to do with their husband, their wife, their boss? God. Now, we're not just talking about kids. I've had 40-year-olds look at me and go, I don't know. Why'd you do that? I don't know. I don't know what got into me. I don't know. Could you help me? I need help. I need help. Phyllis, one time, was working in doctor's offices, and she had this lady who'd been to Rhema, had been under a word and been into some good services and wouldn't show up to work on time. Work started at 8:00. She'd show up at noon. 11:00, noon. And ask her what's going on with you? Well, could you pray for me? I guess I got a spirit of slumber. This is popular throughout charismatic circles and word and faith circles. Could you help me? I've got bondage. I need deliverance. Could you cast this out of me? I can't help it. I don't know any better. I'm confused. I can't help it. And again, they do know better. They do know better, but if I say it's a spirit of slumber, then that works out to being not my fault. That works out to being I can't help it, and instead of being called to task about it, I should be pitied. Won't you help me? I can't get up, and it's not my fault. Would you cast out the spirit of slumber? I don't want to be late. I don't want to be late. But I talk to them. And these folks don't always enjoy talking to me. I'm interested in getting things changed. A lot of folks want to talk. They want to talk about it for years and not change. I'm not interested in that. I don't have time for that. If you're not willing, if you're not ready to change, then let's don't talk. I know the word works. I know you can get free. I know you don't have to play around with it. If you're ready and if you're willing. Huh?
kind of like Brother Jesse Duplantis's mentality. He told me, Brother Keith, I'm not a pastor. I couldn't do what y'all do. He said, I'm not a pastor. He said, you know, my entire counseling routine is this. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Go. Well, that ain't all that bad. I mean, admit it. Quit it. Forget it and go on with your life. I told this particular person, I said, can't get up, no. And they couldn't get up to go to church. Miss church, miss Sunday after Sunday. And cry. I don't want to miss Brother Keith. I don't. It bothers me so bad. But I got, could you cast this out of me? And some foolish preachers just start trying to cast out stuff. I said, sister, what time you go to bed on Saturday night? She looked like I'd slapped her. Like, what in the world has that got to do with anything? She said, huh? I said, what time did you go? You didn't go to church Sunday. No, and I feel so bad about it, but I need help. I said, what time did you go to bed Saturday night? She looked at me like she didn't understand what I was saying. Could she really not understand what I just said? Is it really that confusing? What time? I said it slower. What time did you go to bed Saturday night? Now, the reason I'm going over this, do you see what people do? You've probably done it. I've done it in times past. Pretend you don't know. Pretend you don't understand to get the spotlight off of you. Buy time. Figure out how to blame it on somebody else. It's deception. It's ugly. It's devilish. And as long as you do that, what's happening? You are closing your eyes. You're closing up your ears. And you won't hear. And you won't change. And you'll have that problem 10 years from now. You won't be healed. You won't be delivered. You won't be helped. It's serious. I said, what time did you go to bed? She said, well, it was late. I said, how late? Oh, I don't know. I said, yeah, ballpark. How late, you know? Midnight? 1 o'clock? She said, a little later. 2, 3? Yeah, about that. I said, so you up reading the Bible? 2 or 3 in the morning. She said, no. I said, you was praying in the Holy Ghost. You was interceding and praying. She said, no. I said, TV. She said, mm-hmm. I said, well, before we pray and get to casting out, I said, next Saturday night, just leave the TV off and go to bed at 8:30 and see if you can use your faith and get up in time to get ready on Sunday morning. People play games. I'm using this as an example. People do this. A lot of times it's more involved. It's more intricate. And they try to make it so complicated. The only reason something's complicated is if you don't understand it or if you don't want to understand it. With God, everything is simple. Everything. And when you see it from His eyes, it's all simple. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. And get free, yeah. John 7, are you still there? Lord, Lord, how will we ever preach all this? John 7, and verse 16. Jesus said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." Now, if you look up those words, you'll see this is borne out in this translation, actually. Of the NIV says, if anyone chooses to do his will. And the play on the words is if a man, a woman wills to do his will. In fact, the NAS says, if a man is willing to do his will, he shall know. Say that out loud. If you're willing to do his will, you will know. Say it again. If you're willing to do his will, you will. Now, he goes on to say, you will know whether what I'm saying is of God or whether it is of man. Have you ever heard people talk about, well, now, is that me or is that God? Or what's God and what's just man? Here is a wonderful, wonderful truth that will open your eyes right up to it and give you discernment. What is it? A willingness, before you know what it is, a willingness to do whatever is his will. You set your heart, it's faith, isn't it? Well, what? I don't know what he's going to tell me. I have to know what he's going to say before I can say if I'm willing. Do you? No, you don't. If you trust God, you trust God. Have you found out yet that he is a faith God? And he requires, it is not optional, he requires us to walk by faith and to live by faith. Have you seen it? Have you learned that much yet? Faith means you don't know. You don't see. God will open a door and he'll say, go through there. And you'll go, what's in there, Lord? And you'll get silence. You'll get nothing. Because you know all you need to know if you're going to walk by faith, if you're going to trust him, if you're going to believe him. If you have to understand everything before you're going to do it, you're not going to make it with God. Well, I have to see it. I have to know what's going on. I have to, what's going to happen next? I mean, where's the money? Lord, if you'll show me where the money's coming from, I'll do it. Then you're not going to do it. Lord, if you'll explain to me how my body will be healed, then I'll go ahead and get in. No, it's not going to happen. You have to believe him before you see, before you understand. And you have to be willing to do his will, whatever it is. The least bit of unwillingness will be a block between you and him because he knows it afar off. Even if you don't say it, he knows it. The least bit of unwillingness is a blockage between you and the Lord. It affects other areas of your life. I know years ago, the Lord was dealing with me about going out more on the road. And I was already speaking sometimes 20 and 25 times a week. Well, I thought I was busy enough. And I figured, you know, that my weekends, I ought to be able to rest. You know, a couple of days out of the week, or at least a day. I don't know if you understand, 25 times a week is a lot. It's a bunch. And so that would come up to me in times of prayer about going out on the road more. And when it would come up, I didn't want that to be it. So you know what I did? Huh? Can y'all help me out or not? If this is the Lord dealing with Keith to go out on the road more, and I know it's him, what's my options? I either say, I know it's God, but I ain't doing it. Nope, God, no. Most people ain't that dumb. Or I do what? I say, yes, sir. Here I go. We'll do it. Yes, sir. It's you. I know it's you. Here I go. Well, the enemy will offer you a third response. He will offer you another response. You know what? Anybody know what it is? What is this that's coming up in me? What will he say? Say you don't know. I don't know what that is. What is it? What is that to keep? I don't know. We don't know what that is. And the moment you say that, the enemy has an open door now. Because remember, we talked about the love of the truth. If you don't love the truth above all, and you don't want this to be the truth, and yet it is the truth, what else is there to believe after you have the truth? After you got the truth, there's nothing but lies to believe. And the moment you got the truth, but you say, I don't want that. The enemy is right there to give you an alternative, which is a deception and a lie. And I thought, I didn't want that to be it. I didn't want to have to add to what I was doing. So I tried to make out like I didn't know. That was unclear. And I thought, I don't know what that is. And the moment I did that, here comes the enemy and goes, right, we don't know what that is. We don't know. That's not the Lord. No, I don't know. We don't know what. Because if it's the Lord, it's time to do it. And so I'm like, I don't know what that is. Well, there were some other areas of my life at the same time that wasn't going like it should be. I wasn't seeing results like I needed to see. And I prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed, talked to the Lord about it. Lord, please show me. And got nowhere. Month after month after month. One day I was sitting in our house by myself on an afternoon after work. And that came up in me again, about going out more. And I'm sitting there and I thought, God, that's you. Forgive me. If you want me to go more, we will go. You know what's going on. You know what I can do and what I can't. I didn't know that shortly thereafter my schedule would change and I wouldn't have to do all the other plus that. I didn't know, but he knew. But you got to be willing to obey when it looks like you can't do it. Oh, come on, did y'all hear that now? You got to be willing to do whatever he says to do. When you can't see any way, when it doesn't make sense to you or you don't know how, unwillingness is unacceptable in any degree with him. Because unwillingness all boils down to unbelief and or rebellion. You have to trust him. If he says do this, you got to believe that he knows what he's talking about and he loves you and he's good. He's not going to hurt you. Got to trust him. Trust him. I sat there in that chair and I said, God, I was right by myself in the house. I said, Lord, I just spoke right out loud. I said, I'm sorry. That is you. I know that's you. It's the same Holy Ghost gives me utterance every day to preach and guides me. Same Holy Ghost. I know that's you. Forgive me. You want me to go? I'll go and I'll be happy about it some way or another. Help me. I'll do it. And I mean, he spoke to me. He said, now I'm going to talk to you about this other thing. That thing I'd been seeking him about for months. I didn't know they were connected. I'm trying to get answers over here and didn't realize this unwillingness in my heart is blocking me from answers in other areas I thought was unconnected. Listen, friend, the least bit of unwillingness is a blockage between you and him. And see, what was tied in together with it? I knew better than I was letting on. Didn't I? I'm telling you, I did. I knew better than I was letting on, which what am I doing? I'm closing my eyes. I'm not wanting to see this. And because of that, I'm not seeing other things. Can you say amen or oh me or I'll think about it? What's the first step? Tell me what's the first step.
The first step in changing. Do you want to change? Are you serious about changing? What's the first step? Get willing. Willing. Somebody says, do what? Anything. Anything. Can you trust Him? Can you trust Him? Lord, help me to say this the best way, the complete way. I was in the ministry about 2 years when I got a great revelation one day. I was riding in my car. I was waiting at the signal light for it to change, and I got this revelation. Revelation. God is smarter than me. So I said, Brother Keith, you didn't know that before that? Yeah, but not like this. It came on me. It came into me. What does that mean? He made me. He knows me before I was born. He knows the end of my potential. He knows my graces and abilities and where I got them and where I don't. He knows where I will fit the best and do the best. He's smarter than me. Right? So I should trust Him. I should trust Him. And what that means is doing what the Master said. Jesus said, Lord, I delight to do Thy will, O God. And you can will to do His will by faith when your flesh don't want to see it and hear it. I learned this that day. I learned it. That if the Lord says to me, I say to Him, Lord, I want to do this. I want to do this. This is my dream. This is what I want to do. And if He says, that's not what I have for you. Now what happens right now is my will. My mind might not want to hear that. My flesh may not want to hear that. I've got it all built up. This is what I want to do. He says, no, that's not what I want you to do. I've learned though by faith I can say, right. You don't like it? I don't like it. My flesh is going, we want it. Say, shut up, shut up. He don't like it. I don't like it. Lord, I'm with you. I will to do your will. I delight to do your will. Right? Or if you say, oh, man, that's not my ministry. Whew, I'm glad somebody else does that. That's not my thing. No, no, no. And He says, I want you to do it. You go, right. Lord, now that you say it, yeah. You like it? Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. For me, your flesh is going, no way. You say, shut up, shut up. He's right. He's right. You have to put your flesh under and by faith will to do His will. And if you do that, you are open. You are truly open. What I mean is your eyes are open. Your ears are open. Your heart is open. You are on the same spiritual frequency to hear from Him. But the least bit of unwillingness pulls you off frequency. It's like trying to get an FM station on an AM band. It just ain't happening. Somebody say, I'm willing. I'm willing to be willing. I'm willing to do whatever by faith. I want to close with this. Go with me to Hebrews, please. Well, actually, stop by Philippians on your way. Philippians, the second chapter. We started off on Sunday morning reading and talking about the first part of that chapter where Jesus said, you know, have eyes they see but don't see and ears they hear but don't hear. He taught them the parable of the sower or the seed. That's what He was talking about from that. And four types of ground. Three types did not have any harvest. No fruit. We could say it like this. They got no changes in their life. No miracles, no blessings. Only one kind. The good ground. But Luke 8, talking about the good ground, describes it like this. It says, but that good ground... are they, the ground talks about people, the good ground are they
which in a honest, everybody say honest.
Honest.
I'm quoting from Luke 8 now. An honest and a good heart received the word and kept it and brought forth fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. What kind of ground is good ground? What was the first word he used? Honest. Honest. Honest heart is good ground. No fakery, no put on, no facade, no foolishness, no deceiving. Fakery. Somebody say, not me. I am not a deceiver. I do not lie about anything. Ever. Are you good ground? That mean what? You are
honest.
In an honest, a good and an honest heart. He said they received the word. That is the good ground. In talking about that, read this then. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Then we're going over to Hebrews 13. We're going to not just read it, we're going to do it. We're going to act on this. Philippians 2. Can you change? Can things get changed in your life that have been that way all your life? That you've not liked, that have been a hindrance to you, that have been a problem to you? Can it be changed? Is God big enough? Does he have the power? Yes, yes. Always has had. Could have been changed long ago. Got to do your part. What's your part? First part?
Willing.
I'm telling you, you can have major breakthroughs in your life right now, tonight. You can get willing. I know Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, who's in heaven now, father in the faith, tells about when he left his church, last church that he pastored, and went out on the road. And he had been getting a pretty good salary, and housing was paid for, and they bought him clothes to go to their meetings, and he left that, and now he's paying for all of his way to get there, and month after month, he's going in the hole. And the reason he did it, he didn't want to leave his family. He didn't want to do this, but just in obedience to God. But month after month, he's going in the hole. Going in the hole. Got behind. Taking out loans. And just getting further and further behind. And he's praying to the Lord about it. In earnest and praying. And one time of extended praying and fasting some, he said, Lord, I'm obeying you. And he was quoting to him Isaiah, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. And he kept quoting it to him, Lord, you said, if I'd be willing and obedient, I'd eat the good of the land. And I obeyed you, and I'm not eating the good of the land. My children are not adequately clothed. My family's not adequately fed. I'm behind on all my bills. I'm getting further behind every week. But you said if I'd be willing and obedient, I'd eat the good of the land. I obeyed you. I left my last church. I went out, and I'm not eating the good of the land. Help me. And he said the Lord spoke to him. And said, well, the problem is you don't qualify. He said, Lord, I obeyed you. I did what you told me. He said, yeah, you obeyed, but you're not willing. You're not willing. You begrudge it. You're telling me how ever since you left, it's gone bad and it's gone worse and you obeyed me and it's hard and you don't want to do it and you're unwilling. He said when he saw it, he said it didn't take him long. He just reached down inside of him and got willing. How long does it take to get willing? Well, who's in control of the willing device inside you? Who's in charge of the willing, unwilling switch? Huh? Who can move it from unwilling to willing? Does it really take a major ordeal and 40 days of fasting and 900 intercessors? I mean, what is it? He said it didn't take him that long. He said, Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing now. I'm sorry. I repent. I'm willing. You know it. The devil knows it. I'm willing. And sure enough, not long after that, he started having breakthroughs in his finance. Can unwillingness mess us up? Can it hinder us? Can it block us? Can it blind us? Close us off? How long does it take to get willing? So how many in here are willing to do whatever
Now, you know the Lord could tell you anything. He could tell you to stay here the rest of your life, or He could tell you to go to the furthest corners of the earth. Huh? He could tell you to preach off the top of the mountaintop, or He could tell you to clean the restroom for 50 years. Huh? Are you willing to do any of it? I did not get a positive response from even half the crowd. And I've been preaching long enough to get a good response. I said, are you, now think, don't just nod your head, think about it. Are you willing?
Yes.
Now think about what you're saying. What could the Lord tell you? He could send you anywhere to do anything. He could send you to work with people for 20 years that you don't like. He could send you to help people that don't treat you right. Somebody said He wouldn't do it. He's done it again and again and again. Huh? He could tell you to do things that you think you can't do. And are absolutely unqualified and are not the one to do. How many times have you heard people that God called? I mean, reading the Bible, people like Moses. And He said, oh, you don't want me, God. Now, I can't even talk. What? You don't want me. Again and again, we see that. God does these things purposely. Because He requires faith. He purposely does things in such a way that you don't see how you can do it.
Amen.
To see what's going to come out of your heart. Whether you say, God, I don't see how, but of course you already knew that. But if you say it, I delight to do your will. I don't care what my flesh is saying, and your flesh says, I'm not going to do that. No, no, no. You say, shut up. I said, I delight. I don't care if you have to take toothpicks and prop up the corners of your mouth. You say, I said, I delight. Not just I'm going to do it. I delight. Well, if I have to. No, no. If you do it grudgingly, you don't qualify to do it. Can you will to do His will? Can you by faith say, I delight to do it? Can you say, oh God, I want, this is my dream, and He says, no, I don't want you to do that. Can you change on the moment? Can you reach inside yourself and go, right, if you don't like it, I don't like it. Can you say, oh, that's not me. Oh, no, 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 not me, never. You'll never catch me. He says, I want you to do that. Okay. Now that I look at it again, Lord, yeah. I mean, you like it? I like it. Yeah, here we go. I delight. Can you do it?
Yes.
Say it out loud. I will. And I delight to do Thy will. Oh, God. Philippians 2:13, He said, it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Say it out loud. It is God.
It is God
who is working in me now to will and to do of all His good pleasure. And I delight to do His will. Don't let this be the last time you say that. Say it tonight again. Say it in the morning. Say it. He is working in me. Hallelujah. To will, working in me to will. He will help you with your will. Can you see that? He will help you with your will if you're willing to be willing.
Amen.
Said, well, I ain't willing. Yeah, but are you willing to get willing? Isn't that what we read in John 7? If any man wills to do his will, then he will know what is God and what is not. Then go to Hebrews in closing. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Thank you, Lord. And when you find it, I want you to stand up and hold your Bible. We're going to pray this out loud. This is a prayer.
Hebrews 13. Singers and players, would y'all come and get ready? And you can, you'll hear us say it. You can pray it out loud. Hebrews 13. We are not going to stay the same year after year, year after year, and look up and we're old and our life has passed by and we didn't do what God called us to do. We're not going to do that. We're going to change. I said, we're going to change. We're going to change. We're changing already tonight. We're changing. We're changing in how we think. Right? How we believe. How we operate. How we talk. Huh? We're not wasting our time here tonight now, are we? No more do we... Remember what's already going on? No more do we talk need. We don't talk need. We talk faith. We don't just talk about what we think and what we want and what we can do. We can change in a moment to do His will. Right? And submit our will to His will. And we say, Lord, I thank You. You are working in me. You are working in me to do Your will. And to be willing to do Your will. Because I'm willing to get willing. And You're working on my will. In Hebrews 13, this is a prayer. We're going to pray it over ourselves and not just do it, but do it in faith. Hebrews 13 and 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect. Is He praying for them? The God of peace. Make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray it right now. Everybody, say it out loud. Father God,
I love You
with all my heart,
with all my soul,
with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my stuff. You are my God.
You are my
life.
You are everything
to me.
And I pray and ask You,
the great God of peace,
in the name of Jesus,
make me
perfect
in every good work
to do Your will,
working in me.
Working in me,
that which is well pleasing
in Your eyes,
in Your sight,
through Jesus,
the Anointed One,
my Master,
and to You be glory.
Get glory to Yourself
in my spirit,
in my body,
in my life.
Through my will.
Get glory to Yourself
forever
and ever.
Amen.
Come on, let's praise Him some. Father, we praise You.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. We praise You. We praise You. We bless You.
Go coastate You.
Glory to God. We praise You. We praise You. We praise You. Bless Your holy name.
Bless Your holy name.
Bless Your holy name.
We submit our will to You.
We submit ourselves to You.
We're willing to do anything.
Whatever You say, we trust You.
We trust You.
Oh, we will obey You.
Kol ovlomonde este. Ovala, apa, asta, ade, este, ote.
Hallelujah. Listen. I saw this in my spirit and I heard it in my spirit. Right now, close your eyes. Close your eyes. There have been a number of people that are here in the room and some not in the room, but you're joining us by internet.
and you have been seeking direction and you've prayed and you've talked about it and talked about it, but you have not seen the next step and the next part of the plan for your life, for your ministry, and it's because of some unwillingness. Some unwillingness. Oh yeah, you're willing to do this, or you're willing to do this, but you weren't willing to do this, and you weren't willing to even look in this area. And so it has caused blindness, and it has caused hardness and thickness and unfeeling and lack of change and lack of results. But tonight, things are changing. Tonight, hearts are being softened. Tonight, eyes are opening and ears are opening, and the will is being brought and submitted to the Lordship of Jesus. Hallelujah. Be willing to look at anything. Be willing to consider anything. Let nothing be too trivial or too light or too insignificant to you. Be willing to hear it. Be willing to consider it. And direction will come now. Light will come now. The plan will be revealed now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's praise Him some. Let's praise Him some. Hallelujah. Pray in the Spirit if you know how. Praise in the Spirit. On the bunkale flemendio nanoch don de galactachi. Evlembedio no ontoshne. Ava mangre mendi bretico forebati presti. Ovle bendi le mon confle mandi barendri dio de lo cox doce. Ovle mendi o do no ma anama na atma na mandi. Evla, 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 no pa prashti. Os gundalon munde, elevla mande gomak deo non tio genodeste. Maran gramasto levron bidiri mendi brevidici. Oh, selama, selama. Oh, selama, preveni gosti. Avela gambili niste. Oh, sire, sire, sire. Nim bene sire. Oh, vanalama. Le san de goshi. Mara never no voce, vile, oh vile, 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 massa da jade. Hallelujah. Distrust says I have to know what it is before I can say if I'm willing. That is unacceptable with the Lord. Unacceptable. You must be willing to do it before you know it. But what would it be? Well, what does it matter? If you know Him, you can trust Him. If you know Him, you know He's not going to hurt you. He's smarter than you. Say it out loud, I'm willing. I don't have to know. Whatever it is, I am willing. To do your will, O Lord. Come on, talk to Him some more about it. Tell Him. Oh, pray some more about it. Lord, I'm willing. Whatever it is, I don't have to know what it is. I'm willing already. By faith, I'm willing already. Oh, candele mesto, fola manasso, varandi bira doce. Don't be afraid of what it might be. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. I'm willing, Lord. I'm willing, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes. You know that? Yes, Lord. Begin to sing that. Oh, shindigation.
Yes, Lord, yes. To Your will and to Your way.
Oh, everybody say
yes. Lord, yes.
Oh, yes.
I will trust You and obey.
I trust You.
When Your Spirit speaks to me.
Oh, say, what was the question? It doesn't matter. If the Lord asks it, what's the answer?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, but I don't know. You don't have to know. If you know Him and you trust Him, you've already got the answer. What do you want me to do? Yes. Are you willing? Yes. Would you? Yes. Would you go? Yeah. You don't have to know where. Yes. Would you help? Yes. Come on, somebody tell me. What's the answer?
Yes.
It doesn't matter what the question is. If the Lord asks it, you already know the answer. Yes. Yes. Come on, stay with me a few more minutes now. There's revelation for you in the house tonight. Sing it again.
We're saying, Lord,
yes. Lord, yes.
Oh, yes.
To your will and to your ways.
Everybody sing.
Yes. Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey.
Oh.
When your spirit speaks to me, when my whole
on plan. Will you go?
Yes.
That's weak. Will you go?
Yes.
Anywhere.
Yes.
What if he says, I want you to pack up and I want you to move over there? Do you have to think about it? Will you help them? Will you go help them? Will you spend your time and your money and help them do that thing? Will you help them? What thing? You don't have to know what thing. Are you willing to do anything? Yes. 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 You willing to go tell that person you love them and you thank God for them? What person? It doesn't matter. Yeah, but not that person. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, but you don't know what that person. It doesn't matter. It can't be any unwillingness. Somebody say yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Yes. Will you do it? Will you help? Will you go? Will you obey?
My answer will be yes. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Everybody.
Will you
husband. See, qualifies. Well, if you already missed it, will you love your wife?
Yes.
Well, it depends. No, it doesn't depend. Will you love your wife?
Yes.
Will you submit to your boss?
Yes.
I'm quoting scriptures. Will you not forsake the assembling of yourselves together?
Yeah.
I won't. We will. It's easy to sing, but, you know, when it comes to specifics, no, we're willing. I said we're willing. Will you forgive and forget? I'll try. That is an inappropriate response. That implies you might not be able to, which is a lie. It's a choice. It's a choice. Will you forgive and forget? Now, let me describe this to you. Jesus compared forgiveness of sin to release of debt. Forgiving people is not based on your feelings, and that's where people get messed up. They say, I forgive them, and then they get to thinking about it, and all these feelings of anger and resentment come back up, and they go, what's wrong with me? I can't forgive them. I've tried. You don't know what it is. You forgive by faith. It's not based on your feelings at all. If you owed me $100,000, and we got paperwork, and the Lord deals with me to release you from that debt, and I call you in and I say, look, here's the paperwork. You signed it. You owe me $100,000. Here's the payment schedule. Here's the interest. And I'm telling you, you don't owe me this anymore. You owe me nothing. And I tear it up and I hand it to you. Well, 3 weeks later, I get to thinking about I could use that $100,000, and I get aggravated about it. Tough. I don't care how I feel. The paperwork's gone. Right? You owe me nothing. And when you forgive people, it is exactly that way. I want us to close our eyes. There's some people need to do this because the Lord, you said, Lord, I'll do anything. He's asking you right now. Forgive those people, and this is how you do it. You say, everybody say it out loud. Father, I forgive them. I release them. They owe me nothing. Not an apology. Not an explanation. Not to make it right. They owe me nothing. Now tear up the paperwork. Throw it away. It doesn't make any difference how you feel after this. You've done it. I've released them. I've forgiven them. It's a faith thing, not based on your feelings. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Come on, praise Him some more. Oh, thank you, Lord. My answer is yes. Come on, everybody say. Everybody say.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Your will and to your way.
Yeah.
flesh. Come on, praise Him a little bit more. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. You're so good to us. Waiting on the answer.
Yes.
Will you?
Yes.
Here's another part. Will you go to that person and admit to them that you were wrong?
Yes.
Well, I don't think I was. If the Lord says for you to go and ask them to forgive you and apologize for making such an issue. Maybe you were technically right, but you were spiritually wrong. Stinky attitude, ugly, strife, demanding, selfish. Will you? Will you go and admit you were wrong? No excuses, no buts and what abouts and what ifs and but you. No. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Period. You're right. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Period. Will you do it?
Yes.
Will you do it?
Yes.
What's your answer?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I will trust you.